An excellent day for an exorcism.
I understand, all right. You're one of the undead, and I'm a werewolf.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Hey, Patsy! No running in the hallway.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Horror Crypt Podcast, episode number 65. Now, I know that there are a lot of countries out there that do horror movies, and that's all well and good. I love the fact that we're all getting into a bit of the horror movies, and each country is bringing out their own. And I love the fact that there are a lot of people out there that say, man, America can make some fucked up horror movies, or Canada can, or Australia can make some. I'm sorry. You guys can take a back seat, hold my beer for a second, because I have a movie that was made in Taiwan. This is a Taiwanese horror film. This is a movie that I sat there and went, you have got to be kidding me. It is currently available on Shudder, and once again, I am not sponsored by Shudder. But, you know, if anyone from Shudder is listening, I would love to get some free stuff from you, or even just pass me over a code number so I can actually give it to my listeners, and then that way they can get some, you know, 30 days free from Shudder. That'd be awesome. Anyway, this movie I watched, and I'm like, yeah, what? I mean, I saw you can't see the trailer of this movie, and I can't play the trailer because it's all in Taiwanese. So, you know, it's all basically written on the screen, and of course it's all visual, so I can't play the trailer this week, which is upsetting. Unfortunately, I'm sorry about that. But this movie, I'd heard about, and I had seen a little bit of a write-up on Facebook, and I'm like, okay, I've got to wait to see when this drops. And it dropped into Shudder, and I watched it, and all I can say is, other countries, hold my beer, because this movie is a fucked up horror movie. This is the 2021 Taiwanese horror film, The Sadness. Yeah, The Sadness. And it is heavily inspired by the Crossed comic book series. And I tell you what, it basically is so relevant today. It basically deals with a Taiwanese couple who attempt to reunite amidst a viral pandemic that turns people into homicidal maniacs. Now, it's very interesting that right now I'm doing this podcast where there is a nation or a worldwide pandemic going on. Australia is definitely not unaffected by this. We've still got the COVID-19 virus going around the place. And so, really, it's very much very relevant today. But this was a movie that I sat there and went, wow, I cannot believe that they actually showed this, that they actually did this, and they actually said what they said. It's pretty crazy. As I said, it was made in Taiwan. The running time is 99 minutes. There's not very many parts of the movie that you'd sit there and go, can we get a move on? Because it's just such a very, very fast-paced movie. The movie basically opens up where we get to see the medical experts and the government officials. They're butting their heads. They're basically arguing over the fact that there's this virus out called the Alvin virus, a flu-like infection. The government has refused to take large-scale measures to prevent transmission of Alvin, and many ordinary people doubt that the virus exists at all. Now, have we ever heard of that before? Yeah. Who hasn't heard the fact that, oh, you know, the COVID-19 doesn't exist? Well, yeah, it does exist, and I'm not going to get into a political debate here on my podcast. I've been vexed, double vexed, and boosted because I don't want to get whatever the hell is running around in the world. But I'm not going to get into a political debate as far as exactly if it is real, if it isn't real. You know, as far as I'm concerned, something's going on, and, you know, I would much rather protect myself and my family. And also for the fact that, you know, I work in the medical industry, and I don't particularly want to catch what people are running around with. I mean, I am very susceptible to coughs and colds and flus because I work in the medical industry. But I figure this sort of pandemic that's going on, I'm just going to, you know. So this movie is basically a whole lot of people throughout the country are like, yeah, it doesn't exist because guess what? There's an election coming up and they've got to scare us for something, or they've got to detract our attention away from what's really going on. Now, we've all heard that one before as well. Suddenly there's an election coming up and we are all basically told vax and double vax and boost and all this stuff while they try and slip into the government roles. So, you know, it's very, very relevant today. However, some virologists fear that it has a potential to mutate and cause serious illness. So the movie opens up where we see two people laying in bed together, and we find that these people are Jim and Kat. Kat being a young girl, Jim obviously being the guy. They're getting up out of bed in the morning, and Kat has to get to work. So Jim's basically either got the day off, or he's got a half a day off, or he doesn't go to work at all. Who knows? We don't know, because it doesn't actually give you any idea. So he basically goes out onto the patio outside. Now, they live in Taipei, and so while he's standing there, just getting the breath of fresh air for the morning, he looks over across the sea of apartment buildings, and of course you've got this. We really don't know exactly what it is. We just see this person standing on the roof of a building, and he calls out to this person, and they don't seem to hear. So he expresses himself a little bit more, and he yells out to her. Then suddenly this person turns towards us, and now we can't get a clear description of what this person is, whether it's a male or a female, but we can clearly see that there is a whole lot of blood that's dripping down the front of their shirt, and it's getting bigger. Of course, then Jim's next door neighbor comes out onto the patio, because their apartments are so close together, because I'm guessing in Taipei, you're basically living on top of each other. So he comes out to say good morning to Jim, and of course Jim is momentarily distracted by his next door neighbor, and he turns back to the apartment building across from him. And of course, this person's not there. It's like, okay. And they get into a bit of back and forth banter about, this virus that's happening, and, it's all political and all this and all that, So, Kat comes out and basically says, I've got to get to work. So Jim wishes the next door neighbor a good day, and they get on. Jim and Kat get on their motor scooter, and off they go to work. And while driving to the train station, they pass a bloody crime scene. And Jim drops Kat off at the train station and says, okay, well, I'll be here to pick you up in the evening. And she's like, yep, no problems. They kiss goodbye, and then Kat goes to work on the train. Jim then goes to a nearby cafe. And, of course, while he's standing there, he's obviously a regular customer, because the owner, or the person that works there, knows him by name. Basically says, well, listen, I just have to deal with this customer first, and then I'll get yours. What do you want? And he gives him his order, and he's like, okay, yep, I'll deal with that. So anyway, this cafe is pretty busy, because obviously first thing in the morning, people are getting coffee and getting breakfast and stuff like that. So Jim's standing there, and he's just waiting to be served, and out of the corner, not out of the corner of our eye, I'd say it would be like a blurred vision. Someone is walking into the cafe, and this starts to startle a lot of people, who start to turn around and look at this person. And where Jim's standing, he still hasn't worked out what's going on. This person's basically standing shoulder to shoulder with him. And so at one stage, one of the people who are sitting having breakfast gets up and goes over to this person and says, Grandma, are you okay? Now, obviously, that is a term of endearment in Taiwan, that you treat your elderly or, your older people with respect. You call them grandfather or grandmother. And, of course, we see that this person turns around, and this is the same person that was standing on the roof. She is completely bloodied on her top. Her face is completely fucked up. I mean, she is just looking evil. And she proceeds to, all I can say is, spit a whole lot of mucus onto this guy, who then he then falls back onto the table. This is when Jim basically sees what's going on, turns, and of course this elderly woman is standing there starting to advance towards Jim, and Jim is basically walking, starting to walk away from him. As this is all happening, she then turns her brief moment of attention to the shopkeeper and grabs a bag. Well, when you deep fry something, you've got a whole lot of oil, like the basket. She puts a whole lot of oil on top of this guy's head, burning him like ninth degree burns, and then starts to peel his skin off. So we have got this horror shit starting immediately. This is really going out of control. So she's peeling his face off, and of course at this stage Jim is still backing away. She then turns her attention to him and starts walking towards him, going to go to attack him. Of course, now we see that what's going on in the cafe is the person that was spat on is now hacking up people with a knife that he's got and starting to stab people. So we're getting pretty much into this immediately. Jim backs back into the street, and he's really trying to get away from this woman. As she's advancing closer and closer towards him, she is hit, absolutely the biggest jump scare, she hit by a car and basically pinned and killed against a light pole. Jim then runs over to the driver, who looks at him. Now, the only way that we actually understand how this Alvin virus takes place is that your eyes become full of blood. Not blood, they become very, very red and inflamed, and you start sweating profusely. So it's either you can get direct contact by what this woman did to this guy, which is, spitting on him, and or the other ones is just, airborne. You can actually just get it, you know, in that sort of situation. And this is when the guy looks at Jim and goes, holy shit, that fucking bitch came out of nowhere. Now, this is the language that goes throughout the movie, and the language is actually going to get more and more hardcore. So if you've got to this point now that you're thinking, shit, this would actually be not a bad movie to see. Okay, stop the podcast now. You got to come back. You can't leave me hanging, right? But you got to come back to the podcast. But if you want to go see this, go on to Shudder. It's definitely on right now. And you are in for a lot of reading, unfortunately, because that's all it is. There's no American, there's no English dub over the top of it. So you are going to be reading quite a lot. But the fact is that this is hardcore stuff, and you will get to see everything, and you'll really understand just how hardcore this movie is. So for those of us who are not stopping the podcast and continuing on this merry journey of the sadness, let's continue on. So as Jim is walking backwards, you know, away from this situation, we get to see a woman jump out of a 10-floor story building, laughing all the way down until she splats on the ground. We see the splat. We see how badly she splats onto the ground. We then get to see a group of people then start to come out at Jim and starts to chase Jim down the street, where he's just running for his life now. Absolutely, you know, he's just absolutely terrified about what the hell's going on, because we don't know what's going on. All we know is that suddenly these homicidal maniacs that have walked out of the cafe are now turning their advances on Jim, and they're running. So now, you know, we've seen this woman hit by a car and killed. The guy in the car is basically pinned in the car. He can't get out of it, but he's got this homicidal look. We've got a woman that's jumped out of a 10th story. I can't even get this word out of a high fucking building and splattered herself on the ground. So this is the whole thing is going on. So of course Jim's like, fuck this, I'm out of here. And he basically hightails it back to his apartment on foot. And of course he's chased by all these infected locals. He texts Kat to say, where is she? Promising to rescue her. Then the neighbor, now this is really, oh, this is some hardcore stuff. Okay, so the neighbor is a gardener. He's got a very nice garden right next to Jim's apartment. And, you know, Jim's on the phone and he's texting Kat to try and tell her, you know, what's going on and where the hell is she, and I've got to come to you, pick you up, and we've got to flee the city. Of course, as he's doing that, he sees a reflection in the television set, and of course he turns around and there is his neighbor with a pair of garden shears trying to attack Jim. Now he can see that this guy's sweating profusely. His eyes are red. He's got this maniacal look on his face, like, I just want to fucking kill you, Jim. And so Jim has managed to grab hold of, if you can imagine, garden shears. He's got either side of the garden shears, so he's holding it for dear life to make sure this guy doesn't kill him. Unfortunately, the neighbor closes the garden shears, cutting off two fingers with the garden shears. And luckily, Jim then has the good sense to, you know, kick him. And of course, he falls down. And then Jim grabs a toaster and beats the fuck out of him to the point you think that he's dead, because he's pretty much knocked out unconscious. There's blood everywhere. But of course, as Jim runs out of the apartment, we see that the neighbor wakes up and starts getting up again. So these guys are absolutely, you know, crazed killers. So now we then transfer over to where the train is, and Kat's on the train, and she's basically just sitting there reading a book quietly. And there's a middle-aged businessman, and he's very interested in Kat. He's noticed her quite a lot on the train, and he says, you know, hi, you know, how are you? And she says, yeah, I'm fine, you know, I'm good. How are you? And he goes, oh, I'm good, thank you. So they're having a bit of banter backwards and forwards, and he really starts to he's very demanding of her time, and she's like, you know, she's trying to be nice, and she's like, listen, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I just want to sit here and read my book. And he's like, that's interesting, you reading a book, because most people have electronic means, and they've got their, you know, heads down looking at their phones, but you're reading a book, that's wonderful. And he says, I've noticed you, you know, quite a lot on the train. And she goes, oh, thank you, that's nice. And he starts to say to her, listen, I find you very attractive. And this is when Kat then turns around and says to him, if you do not leave me alone, I am going to call the police because you are sexually harassing me. And then this is when this businessman goes, wow, this is really interesting. I'm being told that I'm sexually harassing someone just for having a conversation with somebody. Where is the world coming to? What's the world coming to? This is ridiculous. You know, how dare you accuse me of sexually harassing you, and all I want to do is just get to know you and have a conversation with you. Of course, this is when a young girl comes in. Her name's Molly, and Kat offers her seat. Because as we're in there, we see that there's a couple of other people that come into the train as well. They're getting on the train. But there's this one guy who's got a pair of black, very dark sunglasses. But we can see a small bit of sweat coming down from him. So we've got the idea that something is going to happen. And of course, it does. He pulls out a knife and stabs a guy right beside him. Of course, this is when the guy falls to the floor and he's, obviously very badly injured. Of course, a guy runs over to help him, and the guy who came onto the train in the black sunglasses stabs this guy. So now there's more blood that's going on. Of course, then the guy who is the attacker then turns his attention to a couple of other people and starts stabbing them maniacally, absolutely. Yeah, it's just because every time that this happens, when there's a spray of blood, it infects it infects other people that are around the place. So it's immediate transference. Now, this is the whole thing. A lot of the zombie movies that we've all enjoyed and watched, you can see that sometimes, if you get bitten by a zombie, you'll take maybe 2 hours or 3 hours to change. Or, what was the other one? The movie World War Z, when, it was basically 12 seconds. That from being bitten to becoming a zombie, this one is pretty much instantaneous as well. It maybe takes maybe 15, 20 seconds, maybe a little bit longer than World War Z, but it's definitely around in that range. It's not one of those you are attacked and then you'll wait for a couple of hours and then you become a zombie. It's basically instantaneous, So this is all happening. We're getting people being stabbed. There's blood going everywhere. There is gushes of blood. And I find it interesting that a lot of these special effects people overdo the blood. And this is by far one of the ones that they overdo with. I mean, there's one guy that is stabbed and there is basically a geyser of blood that basically hits the ceiling of the train, and it just covers everyone with blood to a point. There are a couple of people that only just get a couple of little blood splatters on their shirt, but there are people just bathing in blood. And of course, as they are all being sprayed with this blood, they instantaneously, within 20 seconds or 10 seconds or 15 seconds, however long it was, I didn't keep track, instantaneously turn into these maniac zombies that are ready to start killing people. Of course, the middle-aged businessman who was cracking on the cat is transformed into a zombie. Now, when I say zombie, it's not like you're just walking around with your hands out in front of you, just, wandering around. They've got definite ideas of what they want to do. So the Alvin virus is completely different. The Alvin virus transforms so we're going to go with the businessman, because we're going to focus just on him for a moment. So he was very, very angry about the fact that he was being told by Kat, leave me alone, I'm going to call the police, you are sexually harassing me. And that's his anger, was like, how dare you say that I'm sexually harassing you. So when he transforms into this zombie situation, his anger transforms at being rejected by her into a desire to rape and murder her and rape and murder women. So this is the whole thing. A lot of the sadness is that they laugh or they cry depending on, like, if they're stabbing someone. There's a couple of zombies you'll see in the movie that they will actually be stabbing somebody or ripping them apart, but they'll be crying at the same time. It's almost like there's that part of them that's sorry for what they're doing, but they have no control over it. And it's interesting, as we're getting towards the end of the movie, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but just to give you a rough idea of what's going on, there's a virologist that says that the limbic system is something that controls us, that basically, you've got a... and he explains it in a situation where you've got a patient that might be very, very thirsty. Now, his limbic system says, I am thirsty, keep drinking. His body is saying, no, we are full, we've got enough water, thank you very much. But his limbic system is such that it controls him to the point that he drowns, because his limbic system can't understand and can't process the fact that he's full, he's got no more room for water, he doesn't need to drink the water. His limbic system is saying, nope, we're still thirsty, we don't have enough water, keep drinking. So this is the whole thing. This limbic system that is being affected by the Alvin virus is now saying, you now have a desire to rape and kill people. And there's still that human part of them that are saying, I don't want to do this, and I'm upset and I'm crying about what I'm doing. But there's also that part of him, that's part of the people that have got the Alvin virus, that as they're killing someone, they'll either laugh or they'll cry depending on the type of person that they are. So you get to see a lot of the times where there is people, they're being ripped apart and they're laughing. you know, or the people are being ripped apart, but the perpetrator that's doing it will be crying as they're doing it, but they've got no control because the limbic system is telling them, keep doing it, it's all good, we need to do this. So now we've got this situation where this middle-aged businessman is now targeting Kat and also targeting Molly, because at one stage, you know, he's completely transformed and he's standing there above where Kat and Molly is, and Molly happens to look up towards him and he's got an umbrella. He slams the umbrella straight through Molly's right eye. Now we think that Molly is dead, but luckily she's not. He pulls the umbrella out of her eye, and basically looks at the eyeball that's hanging on there. And this is when Kat basically, you know, slugs the businessman as the train stops, and she basically saves Molly by running out of the train platform. Of course, the businessman pursues them, armed with an axe. Now, where did he get the axe from? He's walking down the hallway, and he happens to see that there's an area where there's fire suppressant equipment there, and he just busts open the door and gets the axe. Now, as Kat and Molly are running towards what they think is salvation and safety, there's this very large Asian guy that comes into view and basically says, "Hey, baby," you know, basically trying to crack onto Kat and Molly. Don't know why you'd be cracking onto Molly, because she's very badly injured in the eye, but Kat is trying to get Molly to the hospital. So she says, listen, there's this guy that's trying to hurt us. So, you know, you see that right down the hallway, there's the businessman. That's all we know him as, the businessman. And he's walking towards Molly and towards Kat. So this guy basically intervenes and stands in front of him and says, you know, basically, you know, did you hurt these women? What are you doing? You know, and basically goes to attack him. This is when the businessman hits the guy with an axe and basically chops him basically almost in half from his head to his sternum. This is when he then looks at Molly and Kat and basically says, "I want to fuck the shit out of you." And of course, Molly and Kat then starts running up the gangway to try and get away, up the hallway to get away from the businessman, who is in hot pursuit of this time. Of course, as we're getting up towards the top, there's this guy that's standing up the top. Now, we don't know whether he's infected or not. We just see he's standing up there, and he starts to close the roller door. Luckily, Molly and Kat just escape underneath the roller door as the roller door closes. And this is when Kat looks at him and says, "What the fuck are you doing?" And he goes, I've been ordered by the police to close all the entryways into the train station. So this is what I did. Of course, you know, Kat is absolutely furious and basically slugs him one. Didn't break his nose, but pretty much, you know, hurts him pretty badly. And she basically gets Molly to the hospital, thank God. Unfortunately, the hospital is overrun with those who have been harmed by the infected. So it's basically, you know, you got to sit here in the waiting room and we're going to get to you as soon as we can. But look, we've got no real medical staff on at the moment. Everyone's coming in. They've all been attacked, whatever. So luckily, we don't see that there's any changing that's going on. Nobody seems to be, it must be just superficial wounds, whatever, but nobody is transforming yet, as I say. So the government broadcasts an emergency message vowing to get control of the situation. Now, this is where one of those, I love these moments, and I've got to sit back and talk about this, because we've had one of the movies that I did, which was Scanners, which had an amazing head explosion. Now, we understand that hand grenades don't just happen to just blow up the small part that they're in. They sort of detonate a lot around an area. Not that I'm definitely not expert at hand grenades, but by any stretch of the imagination, no way at all. But this one is rather, okay, we're going to go with this one. So as the government official is standing there, basically telling everyone that we're going to get control of the situation, the Prime Minister, I guess, or the President, Prime Minister, whatever it is standing there. And of course, to his left and to his right, you've got army people, but you've got a general that's standing there. And the general is standing, you know, watching this whole thing going on. And he's basically, the President is saying, we're going to get control of the situation. We then zoom into the general, who's got a small bead of sweat that happens to start running down his cheek. Of course, the camera then pans up and we see that his eyes have gone from a regular color to red and then goes to black. He then grabs a hold of the President or the Prime Minister, I don't know which one it is, how they class them in Taiwan. And he grabs the President, the general grabs a hand grenade, puts it into the president's mouth. I guess we're gonna keep saying president because I don't know what it is. And he turns him to the camera. Now the general is laughing at this stage, as this is happening. You are seeing this in live time. The camera is focusing on this guy. He's got a hand grenade in his mouth. His head explodes and he drops to the floor. The general's not killed. The general was standing behind him, and yet this explosion happened where he blew his head apart. But all the time, the general was laughing as he was doing this. So it's like, okay, so this is one of those, holy shit! He kills the president with a hand grenade. The hospital begins to... the patients in the hospital just start panicking because it's like, oh my God, is this going to happen to us? Are we going to transform into this? Unfortunately, as all this is going on, we've got two police officers that are in the building, and they're basically saying, everyone calm down, calm down. Kat looks past them to see at the door... The businessman standing there with an axe, and he looks directly at Kat and he smiles and is like, oh shit, we can't fucking get away from this guy. The police officers that were distracted, they basically, at that moment, the businessman breaks into the waiting room and starts to kill the police officers, which is like, oh, holy fuck, you know, this is really, and this is not even the most hardcore part of the movie yet. But there is blood everywhere. I mean, they are being hacked to pieces. The infected are coming in. They're starting to bite people and ripping people apart. And it's becoming more and more... The whole hospital is just going into, you know, panic mode and disarray. So, of course, you know, because the businessman broke through the door, now all the infected locals are breaking through the doors to attack them. Kat escapes in a stairwell. Now, before this, Molly has been attended to and has been taken for a CT scan to find out if there's any real internal damage in her eye or into her brain. And, of course, poor old Molly is sitting in a wheelchair. She's got an IV attached to her, and she's just in a really bad way where they took her for a scan. Of course, this is where the businessman is walking around trying to find Kat and stumbles upon Molly. Now, I giggle at this because I just don't know what else to say. This is probably one of the most disturbing, disturbing parts of the movie. You don't see it. It's implied. But believe me, the motions... As they say, the motion in the ocean will give you a fair idea of what is going on. Are you ready for this? I hope so, because it doesn't get any better than this. It gets worse, but this is probably as worse as it's going to get right now. So the businessman comes up upon Molly and says, you know, where is that other cunt? This is the words that he says. Where's the other cunt? Where is she? And of course, Molly is just standing there, just completely disheveled and basically in so much pain, but she's hooked up to an IV. And so the guy then puts his axe down and says, listen, you know, when I first saw you in the train, I thought you were very attractive. And he proceeds to rape her through the hole in her eye. Yes, he literally skull fucks her. He rapes her through her eye hole. Now, when it first starts, she is screaming and you can hear it as she's doing. But he is moving his pelvis backwards and forwards, and he is literally raping her in her eye wound. Of course, this unfortunately infects Molly. Jim escapes to the outskirts of the town. I need to continue on, because if we focus too much on the eye rape scene, it will be like, are you kidding me? But yeah, this is when I'm saying to you, all other countries, hold my beer. This movie done by this country, Taiwan, this has got it. This is probably the most hardcore movie I've seen for quite some time. And if you have reached this point of the movie that you are so intrigued about watching it, go now and watch it, but you will shake your head watching this movie. So Jim escapes the outskirts of town, passing scenes of sadism along the way. As he's going through, of course, the way that he's got to get to Kat is unfortunately blocked, so he's got to take the long way around. So as he's going around, he sees a basketball court, And there is a guy that is basically being beaten, very, very badly beaten on the basketball court by these four young guys. And they are basically beating the shit out of him. I mean, he is just in a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of hurt. And so as they're going on, and you can see these guys are infected and they're just wailing upon this guy. You know, Jim is watching this from a distance. And one of the guys says, here's an idea. I've got an idea. Take his pants off. Now he's just got his tidy whities on, okay, and they've got some barbed wire, and they wrap the barbed wire around one of the basketball posts on the court. They then grab the hold of this guy, open his legs up, and 3, 2, 1, they run him towards the barbed wire and they slam his crotch into the barbed wire. This is when Jim basically has had enough of watching this and goes down and attacks the guys and basically just starts beating the shit out of them to get them away. Of course, you know, this guy is moaning and groaning on the ground, and of course Jim goes over to attend to him, at which time this guy looks at Jim and says, "Why did you stop them from doing that? I was just about to blow my load." And it's like, oh my God, so he's infected too. And see, this is the whole thing, is that a lot of the time these people, and this is another thing about the Alvin virus that I didn't touch on, when you are infected, okay, you have the desire to rape and to murder and to you know, torture someone. Now, as they say later in the movie, you know, you know, the fact that these people are crying when they're doing it is because you are not a willing participant. When you are laughing, when they're laughing, it's because you are a willing participant. But they only laugh when the other person that they're doing to has basically turned to this, you know, zombie situation as well. So when these guys are beating the shit out of this guy, we don't hear this guy laughing at all. He's moaning and he's groaning, but he's not laughing. It's only when you know, Jim basically comes to the realization that this guy is infected, and he starts laughing, and the fact that you stopped them from doing it. I was about to blow my load. I understand there are people out there that have a very, very alternate lifestyle sexually than what we all do, where that sort of things would be really awesome, like getting kicked in the nuts or, you know, getting hit or getting, you know, hung by, I don't know, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm basically BDSM, yes, we'll go with that one. But that's basically, you know, what they basically are into. Not me, of course, I'm not into that. But that sort of situation is what, you know, some people are into. So this whole thing is like, oh, he was really excited to do this. So, you know, here we go. This whole thing is starting to go completely out of control. So now during this whole situation, Kat was able to borrow a phone, or has now stolen a phone from a guy, and basically contacts Jim to say, you know, where she is. And Jim basically says, okay, well, I'm on the outskirts. I've got to go through the long way around, but I will get to you, Kat. Just stay exactly where you are. You know, you're in this hospital. Okay, you should be safe. And she's like, nope, I'm not safe. I've got this, the whole thing that's going on, and I'm definitely not safe. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to get there. As they talk, he begins to cry and hallucinates that a living skull laps up his blood and sweat. Basically, it's a sign that he is now infected. The businessman continues his pursuit of Kat through the hospital's off-limits hallways, but she crushes his head with a fire extinguisher. This is really, really quite cool, because she's basically cornered, and it's like he comes to her and he says, oh, yeah, I want to basically fuck you to death. And that's the words he says, I'm going to fuck you to death. And this is when Kat's basically had enough, and she's like, fuck that, you're not going to do anything like that, and beats the absolute fucking piss out of this guy, crushes his skull. Now, in the process of him being, you know, killed, we've got another two infected that are running up basically behind the businessman, trying to find where Kat is as well. But it's enough time that, you know, she can get to safety after she's caved this guy's head in. Of course, as she's doing this, there's a door that opens up behind her, and it's a virologist by the name of Dr. Wong, who has been hiding in the maternity ward. And there's like a very, very serious steel door behind, you know, between them and the hallway. So he basically beckons, you know, Kat into the room, where we see on a closed circuit TV these other two infected people come up and basically start ripping apart the businessman, who is now dead, laying on the ground with a crushed skull. And basically one of them disengages the security camera, so we can't see out into the hallway anymore. So of course Dr. Wong, who's been hiding out in the maternity ward because he says that, you know, we needed someone to look after the children, he explains that he's been attempting to find a cure for the Alvin virus, which in its mutated form connects to parts of the brain that governs sex and aggression. So that makes sense, because, you know, they've got this this urge to do this. So it's basically they've got this desire to rape and to kill. And we do see a very interesting scene where when Kat is, you know, trying to run through the hallways, she finds that there's a whole lot of noise going on, and we've got three people that are basically in the hallway having an orgy. But they are fully covered in blood, and they are definitely an infected zombie. But they are in the middle of engaging in a pretty cool orgy, and it's because that they have that uncontrolled desire. They need to do it. They don't know why, but they just need to have this orgy. And hey, I'm all for it. Bring it on. I'll have one of those as well, with everything on it. So Wong also theorizes that the reason that the infected cry is because they are fully aware of the terrible things that they do but are completely unable to stop, liking it to resisting the urge to blink. And that was very interesting how he actually explained that to Kat. He says, you know, the way it is that, you know, you can't stop yourself from blinking, so this is what's basically happening, that they have this desire to murder and to rape and to, you know, torture people. They cry because they know what's going on, but they can't stop it. And it is basically, once, as I said, it's basically the limbic system. Now, he also handcuffs Kat to a water pipe and says, we need to shower you off to make sure that, because she's covered in blood after she beat the shit out of the businessman, and just to make sure that you are not going to turn. And of course, you know, after, say, you know, 2 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes, he basically says, yep, okay, you're not infected. You would have turned by now. Which it comes to the theory that maybe Kat has got an immune suppressant, that she is immune to this. Like, you know, she could be splattered with blood, which she was, but she hasn't turned. So basically it could be, okay, well, if we could synthesize your blood, we could find a cure. It would be like basically like a vaccine. So, because this guy's a virologist, he's like, you know, this is a very good idea that we could do this. So he basically convinces Kat to maybe give up some of her blood so he can start running tests on it to see if there is that situation that she has got a natural immunity, which is very, very interesting when you look at it. So now it's at this stage that there is a very disturbing scene that's happening. And once again, I have to remind you that this movie is an extremely disturbing movie. So obviously we've got the situation where Kat has been handcuffed to the water pipe, and she's been completely, you know, cleaned of blood. And of course the doctor, Dr. Wong, gives her a set of scrubs to put on, and she decides that she's going to throw her infected clothes, or the clothes that's got blood, into a bin. Basically it's a medical waste bin. We find that there, as Kat goes to put the clothes in the bin, she finds an infected baby in the medical waste bin. So Dr. Wong injects her with a serum of the virus to test if she's immune to it. Of course, we find out that she holds the key to a vaccine. He admits that he had to conduct similar tests on the babies who had been abandoned in the ward, but all of them became infected, and Dr. Wong was forced to euthanize them. So as Kat has found this baby that is crying in the bin, Dr. Wong has to basically go in there, and you don't see it, but you hear it. He breaks its neck, and obviously the baby was crying, so you could hear the baby's cry. So that is pretty confronting when you have this situation. So if Kat becomes infected, he will kill her too. He basically says, you know, I 3D printed a handgun. I do have three or four bullets that I, from my time in the army, and they're chambered. So if you turn, I am going to kill you. And she's like, oh, awesome, wonderful. If not, she holds the key to stopping the virus. So Kat manages to text her location to Jim, who has just arrived at the hospital. Of course, you don't see Jim, you just basically see his feet, and he's basically walking aimlessly through the mounds and mounds of blood. And he's walking over dead bodies and stuff like that. And we already assume right now that because the camera is not showing Jim, we know that he is infected, and he's now walking through the hospital. Realizing that she is immune to the virus, Dr. Wong calls for a military helicopter intending to take her to a safe location. Now, he says to her, without me, you are not going to get on this helicopter. So keep that in mind. So she's like, oh, okay, all right, so we've got to go to this. So we've got to go up to the roof, to the helipad. So as we are, you know, going along, because he's now going, okay, I've got the information, I've got you, I've got all my data, let's get going. However, Dr. Wong does say to her, without him, if you get to the roof, you will be shot by the soldiers for some unknown reason. We don't know. We're not being told by that at all. But as they make their way to the roof, two of the infected that had been following Kat and the businessman attacks them. Dr. Wong manages to kill them, but is wounded. So when I say wounded, oh my God, an attack is an understatement. Okay, so they're running along. When I say running, they're walking along trying to get up to the roof, and these guys come out from nowhere. One of them's got the axe, because Kat looks and says, you know, when they came out of the protected area where the maternity area was, she looks to where the businessman had been killed and says, hang on a minute, where's the axe? You know, there's supposed to be an axe here. And of course, it's at that moment that this guy comes out from the side of the walkway and chops Dr. Wong's foot off and vomits on it. Yeah, absolutely vomits a whole lot of shit under Dr. Wong's foot, who then he ends up by shooting the infected guy, and Kat manages to kill the other one. So of course we know that, oh shit, okay, you know, he's gonna change for sure. And he basically says, come on, get me up to the helicopter. Without me, you are not gonna survive this. So she basically has got him and is dragging him, you know, along the corridor to go up to the helipad. There's blood just, you know, trailing along. Jim arrives. Now, as they're going towards the elevator doors open, and there we see Jim standing there, and we've got a fair idea that he is definitely infected. They struggle backwards and forwards, and after the struggle, Jim kills Dr. Wong, who admits with his last breath to having enjoyed killing the babies. Yeah, that's pretty fucking hardcore, if I do say so myself. Kat realizes that Jim's infected and locks him outside of the stairwell to the roof. Now, at this stage, we've already seen that Jim had been shot by Dr. Wong, so the side of his neck is, you know, he's got a nice blood flow going out of his body. So he tells her that being infected feels wonderful, and that he can think of no more loving act than to mutilate and kill her. So he says to her, you know, I love you so much, Kat, you know, and I know you love me too. And she's like, I do love you. And he goes, I love you so much. And what I really want to do is I want to cut your tits off and fuck you to death. And he said, and then I also want to peel your skin off a bit at a time. Kat, being absolutely disgusted, flees to the roof. Now, as she opens up the door, we hear this, we don't see this, but where she's killed by the soldiers in the helicopter. Grinning at the thought of her death, Jim dies, breaking the fourth wall, looking directly at camera, as you can hear the gunshots going off, and obviously you hear a scream going on, and then you hear silence, and you can see that the blood is, you know, flowing quite well out of Jim's neck, who is still looking directly at camera, but as he's hearing her being killed, he just smiles just lovingly at the camera. The movie goes black, and that is the end of the movie. Now, I will say this categorically, 100%, that there is no country in the world that can make a horror movie that grotesque than Taiwan. It was probably one of the most disturbing movies I've seen in quite some time. And I have seen all the Saw movies. I have seen all the Hostel movies. I have seen the Human Centipede movies. This is by far a very, very disturbing movie. Not only does it sort of like really touch on what's going on in the world right now, but the fact that you've got the eye raping scene, you know, we also saw that Molly did get transformed, and she did go and attack somebody. We also see that we have got a doctor that is killing infants and, you know, performing medical experiments on them to see if he can replicate a vaccine. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is very, very hardcore. There's a lot of parts about this movie that I would say you would not want to watch it. There are other parts of this movie that I'd say it's very interesting and you should watch it. I'm not going to give you an idea either way. If you think this is, you know, sounding okay, then please, by all means, jump onto Shudder.com and basically watch The Sadness. I would probably say to you, I will not watch this movie again, but I will definitely give it, out of 0 to 5 buckets of blood, 0 being how do I get the last 99 minutes of my life back, to 5 being as a perfect movie and watch it all over again, don't even think about me giving it a 5. I am not going to watch this all over again. If I'd finished watching this movie and you walked in and said, hey Paul, what have you watched? And I said, the sadness. Can we watch it? Yep, you're on your own. And I would just walk out of the room. I am not going to relive this one over again. No, no, no. But I would definitely give this, for gore factor, because that's the only thing that I'm going to give it for. I'm going to give it a 4 for gore. That actually really rhymes. A 4 for gore, because it was fucking disgusting. Outside of that, the movie just goes by at a great pace. It's very, very interesting. It doesn't let up at all. I mean, I don't think that there's any one part of the movie that I'd sit there and go, wow, that was really, really boring. It's a very, very good movie. It goes for an hour and 39 minutes, as I said. So, look, it's definitely watchable. But, as I said, if you are very susceptible to very hardcore scenes, then I'd probably say just steer clear of this one, because it would not be for you. But yeah, in saying that, 4 for gore, 4 out of 5, I'll give it definitely. Before we get to the end of this podcast, we have to do Paul's Fun Facts. So there's actually 10 trivia facts of this movie, and all but one of them I'm going to read out, because actually they're really interesting. So the film is funded with a mixture of cryptocurrency and revenue from a producer's cam girl business. Yeah, awesome. All right. This is what we like to hear. There was very little computer animation in the sadness, with 99% of the special effects being practical effects. That's actually pretty good, because yeah, a lot of it I would have thought would have been computer generated, but that's awesome actually. The film's premise of a plague that turns people into bloodthirsty sadists seemed to have been taken inspiration from a comic series known as Crossed. I've never done that at all. I've never read that comic book series, but there we go. Now the actor who plays the friendly neighbor in the sadness is a very recognizable face in Taiwan due to years of being the spokesman for a popular supermarket chain. So can you imagine, you know, there's the guy who's your spokesman that suddenly is now a bloodthirsty sadist running around the place? German licensee Caplite had to submit the film 3 times to the FSK. So I'm guessing that's like obviously, you know, where you're going to go and submit a movie for review to see what it's going to be rated. So 3 times before it was granted a not under 18 rating for its theatrical release. A rating for release for the uncut version on home video was rejected. See? Yeah, because, I mean, it's pretty fucking hardcore. The movie was also filmed in 28 days in Taipei, and it doesn't actually, you don't actually think that it, you know, under a month or a month, that's actually, you know, very, very interesting. So due to the pandemic, the government regulations, filming in the subway and hospital was not possible. So these sets were built from scratch in a studio. That's actually really cool. The film was made upon request from the producer after the news the Hollywood shutting down filming during the pandemic. So obviously there was a big thing where Hollywood just shut down completely. Yep, we're not filming any movies. They managed to get this film done and under the request. Now this one is the last fun fact, and this was pretty... I'm glad I didn't see this one, and I'm glad it was cut. So there was a scene cut from the script where an infected individual enters an operating room where someone is having their brain operated on, and the said infected person defecates inside the open wound. It was cut because the producers thought it was too funny. Are you fucking kidding me? The producer has since made a gag in the public domain for anyone to steal it. So it's almost like, please make this. Please actually have this done. But are you kidding me? They thought it was too funny because someone shit in an open wound. I'm telling you, man. Hold my beer, the rest of the world. Taipei, Taiwan, you've got the gold star and the brass ring and, you know, whatever you want for the most fucked up, sick movie I have seen in a long time. But yeah, look, that was the sadness, and all I can say is if you have made it this far to the end of the podcast and you are interested in seeing this movie, God love you with all you've got, Godspeed, go and watch this movie, but my God, it is one fucked up movie. Next week we are going to have a movie that I thoroughly, absolutely, completely recommend Gold star across the board. You have to watch it. It is just an amazing movie. But that'll be next week. So thank you very much once again for coming to visit me at the Horror Crypt. Remember, I'm on all social platforms. I'm on Facebook, Horror Crypt Oz. You can send me a direct message, horrorcrypt2022@gmail.com. And remember, I also have my once a month show on YouTube, the Horror Crypt Podcast. So please come, like, subscribe, follow me, and you can see me do my thing live. And, you know, you can even submit questions and you can submit comments on the video. Other than that, yes, that was a sadness. And until we meet again next week, I will say, creep you later.